Far-reaching gun rights legislation has advanced in the Iowa legislature. This hour, we hear from those making the arguments for and against the proposals. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. IPR's Joyce Russell joins me this hour, as well as those for and against new gun legislation proposals. Proposals including legalizing gun silencers or suppressors, making a now public database of gun owners confidential, and lowering the age at which Iowa's children can fire handguns. What's your view on this gun legislation? Join our discussion. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Far-reaching gun rights legislation has advanced in the Iowa legislature. This hour, we want to examine the arguments for and against the proposals making their way through the Iowa House and Senate. Joining me for the entire hour to do that, Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent at the State House Law Library. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
Let's first keep in mind what the proposals are. These passed the House from committee in the House and Senate last week. What are the proposals in a bit of detail?
In short, the bill will allow for gun permits to be confidential when that is public information now. Mm-hmm. It legalizes gun suppressors. And it liberalizes Iowa law for possession of guns by young people. Currently, pistols and revolvers cannot be owned by someone under 14, and this opens that up for any age.
Mm-hmm. That last point, this is ownership. Those under the age have been allowed to shoot them, just not own them?
I believe so, and maybe our friends can clarify that.
Okay. Tell us, but before we get to our other guest, Joyce, how did this come about? Is this been something that you've seen in the pipeline coming, or has it been a bit of a surprise?
Well, the gun suppressor legislation was offered last year and failed to get approval, so that's been out there for a while. The gun bill did come up late in the session, in the sense that it got out there during funnel week, so there wasn't much, I guess I would have to say there wasn't any discussion ahead of last week, which was the deadline for getting bills out of committee.
Okay, we want to turn to our listeners this hour. A little bit later in the hour, we'll get to callers and other comments via social media. What is your view on the gun legislation proposals you're hearing about this hour? As Joyce just mentioned, to make it a short summary, making confidential any personal identifiable information on gun permits would be one aspect of it. Legalizing gun suppressors, also called silencers, and permitting children to own handguns under adult supervision. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining Joyce at the State House Law Library, Representative Matt Winschittle of Iowa's 17th House District from Missouri Valley. Representative Winschittle, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Good afternoon to you. We want to mention in this context, perhaps important to mention that you are a U.S. Marine Corps veteran and also a gunsmith. Let's pick up this aspect on silencers, suppressors. I understand Iowa is one of only a handful of states that don't allow silencers. Why have they not been allowed up to now? Do you know?
First, let's back up for a moment. When we're talking about youth being able to have a firearm, this is not ownership, this is possession. We already have in current Iowa law where a child under the age of 18 is able to use a long gun or a rifle under direct supervision of their parents, spouse, or guardian of that youth. All we're doing is expanding that same parental responsibility to children who are under the age of 14 in regards to pistols or revolvers. So we're not talking about having children own firearms. It's merely being able to possess them and use them appropriately when being supervised by their parents.
Possess meaning not own, meaning handle and use.
That is correct. Okay. So if you wanted to take your child to a firing range and instruct them in proper firearm safety and proper shooting techniques, That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about where you give a child a firearm, turn your back to them, and just say go off and do whatever they're going to do. That's not what we're aiming to do here, and that's not what the bill does.
Okay, thank you for for that clarification. Yeah, go ahead.
To clarify or answer your question on the suppressors, these were included in the National Firearms Act from back in the 30s, and they were talking anything that's regulated under NFA, short-barreled rifles, machine guns, and suppressors were just included into that. Of all of the items that are regulated, suppressors are the only one that's actually a tool that is put onto the weapon. It's not actually a device that fires a gun or makes it fully automatic, anything of that nature. So when we're talking about suppressors, they got grouped in. Iowa passed legislation a long time ago, and I'm not sure the exact date, that just mirrored the federal regulation on NFA weapons. Suppressors were included in that. There's 39 states out there right now that allow their citizens to have suppressors and go through the government process to be able to obtain them. And it is a very highly regulated process through the federal BATFE.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in here. Maybe mm-hmm. this would be a good time to make a distinction between suppressors and silencers.
Yes. Is there a difference?
It's a misnomer to call them a silencer. When you actually get out there and shoot a suppressed weapon, you will understand very quickly that it does not silence the shot. It merely baffles it or muffles it like a muffler on your car. So it does not make them silent like Hollywood has depicted in movies for generations now. It merely reduces the decibel level of shooting the firearm.
Well, actually, we have some audio that will demonstrate exactly what you're saying, Representative Windschittle. I'll play a recorded shot from a 9mm Beretta, a semi-automatic pistol. This first shot is without the suppressor. Let's listen to it. Okay. Now, with a suppressor, that same gun. Okay. So your point is made there. It suppresses the sound. It does not eliminate the sound, Representative Windschittle.
Correct.
Okay. Give me a scenario where one might need a suppressor as a matter of course.
Well, why do we have to go down the avenue of why one might need one? It's a constitutional right to be able to have firearms. Why aren't we asking the question more along the lines of why don't we already have them?
Mm. But I guess I'm just asking for a scenario where you might need one. People are imagining, why do you need a silencer? So answer that question, perhaps.
There's multiple different reasons you can have them or that you should have them. Number one, it is a safety tool. You can talk with a lot of avid sportsmen out there who have damaged their hearing from firing weapons over the years, even when they were using ear protection, ear plugs, or other types of devices to block the sound. So that's one aspect. This will greatly reduce the decibel level and the damage that can happen to hearing. The other thing is courtesy to your neighbors. If you're going out and you're hunting and you'd like to use one of these for hunting practices, this can be a way that you can reduce the overall noise pollution that's out there. And again, I'll revert back to it's a constitutional right, and I believe that Iowans should be afforded the opportunity to have them, just like citizens in 39 other states do.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is currently needed to get a suppressor? Can an average citizen, representative, get a suppressor now with the right documentation, or not at all?
In the state of Iowa, you would have to have, I believe it's a Class 3 federal firearms license in order to be able to even obtain a suppressor. Now, we're talking someone who's in the business of manufacturing NFA-regulated weapons, so it's not your average everyday citizen that does this. This is someone who's employed in this line of work manufacturing these firearms. If we proceed with this legislation and we eliminate the redundant ban that Iowa has on suppressors, the average citizen will still have to fill out the federal documents. I believe it's an ATF Form 1. And that's take that documentation down to their chief law enforcement officer, so the sheriffs, let them know that, yes, we'd like to obtain it, or that they would like to obtain a suppressor. The sheriff then has to do the regular background checks and make sure that there's no disqualifying factors there, sign off the documentation. The person that wants it then has to submit fingerprint cards, passport photo IDs, that ATF Form 1, a $200 tax stamp per suppressor per purchase. Send all of that into the federal government, have them go through the process of either approving or denying it, and then once it's approved, it comes back, and then that citizen will be able to take possession of that suppressor. And every suppressor's got its own serial number on it. The government knows where, well, they should know where every one of them are at or who has possession of them. So, like I said, it is a highly regulated through the federal government.
Join our conversation. What's your view on the gun legislation proposals you're hearing about this hour? There's a Senate bill and a House bill in the Iowa legislature that passed through committee last week, and we're talking about that this hour. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. Joyce Russell with us, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent at the State House Law Library. And as you've just heard, Representative Matt Winschittle, Republican representative there. Representative Mary Wolf is also with us at the State House Law Library. Representative Wolf, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi there.
Hi. From Iowa's 98th district, and you are an attorney and the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee. How do you feel about this legislation making its way through the House?
Well, it's not my bill. I serve in the minority, so generally our bills don't make it this far in the process. But it is the bill that, you know, we have before us and the bill that myself and my colleagues will be voting on. So I served on the subcommittee. I obviously helped pass it out of Judiciary. And, you know, after spending quite a bit of time with the bill, there's a lot of moving parts, analyzing it, doing, I think, due diligence. I am comfortable supporting this bill. You know, there are members of my caucus who have concerns. That's something that we're going to be having ongoing conversations about. And in the end, this bill is not going to pass unanimously. But I do think it does strike a good balance between, you know, there are things in the bill that make Iowa a safer place. There's no question. One thing I'd like to mention real quick is it does allow for the creation of a statewide electronic database that will allow law enforcement across the state of Iowa to check on the validity of carry permits. Right now, it's a county-to-county situation. A sheriff in, you know, Sioux City, it's very difficult for them to find out whether or not a carry permit issued by a Clinton County sheriff is valid. So this is a really big deal. It's something that hasn't been able to get done by now. And I think it's one of the primary reasons that the sheriff's associations, the police associations, and I believe Department of Public Safety are all in support of this bill.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep on the point of data. This bill in the House, I believe, would change the kind of information the public can access about who owns a gun. Is it currently not the case that personal information that would identify you on a gun permit is accessible through public information? And that would be changed here, Representative Wolf, so that a media organization, Iowa Public Radio, or any other media organization could not find out whether a person has a gun permit or not?
Right. Well, you know, the way you frame that question, I think, is important, because what you said is it's going to affect the way people, whether people have information about who has guns. And that seems to be a common misconception in the media reports that I've read about this bill, and that consistently over and over, reporters, journalists, editorialists speak about the fact that public has a right to know who has guns. We need to know where the guns are. And obviously, whether or not a person has a carry permit has absolutely nothing to do. It's not relevant on the issue of whether or not they possess firearms. You don't need a permit to possess most firearms. So a person who has a carry permit may not own any guns. A person who doesn't have a carry permit may own hundreds of guns. So that's it. There's a lot of misconceptions out there.
I was simply asking, what was the change here? And would you not agree that having a gun permit is a high indicator that you have a gun?
It probably is. I don't have
it
any.
It probably is?
Well, I do not have any statistics on that, so I'm not just going to throw out an answer to that. I mean, you may have statistics on that. So
I don't know. I guess I'm just using common sense. But Representative Winschittle, on this point here, why is this change needed for access to information of those who have permits?
Public safety.
Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Oh, okay. It's needed for public safety because this cuts both ways. If you have a permit to carry a weapon or permit to acquire, as you said, that's probably a good indicator that you have a firearm. If you do not, that's probably an indicator that you may not have a firearm. So with this information being public, the concern is that we're going to end up with situations here in Iowa like it happened out on the East Coast and actually happened through a magazine here in Des Moines where the names of people who had permits to carry were actually published. Now, if there's a criminal out there who has a nefarious intent, they can use that information as, let's say, a treasure map to go find someone that either has guns that they'd like to steal or someone who does not have weapons because they don't have a permit, and so therefore they're going to target them and attack them. Look, when Shalishu passed in 2010, I think we had anywhere between 20 and 40,000 people that had a permit to carry. Since that time, now in 2015, we've got over 220,000 Iowans that are exercising their constitutional right to carry a weapon. They have a permit. That's not counting people who have a permit to acquire. If we create this database that is come at the request of law enforcement to simply verify the validity of a permit, to make sure that someone actually has a valid permit, and that information now is housed in a public online format, that could be very dangerous to public safety if anybody can just go in and access that information on a whim. We need to make sure we're protecting the privacy of Iowans, both those who do have a permit and those who do not. So it's a public safety measure.
One of the issues that came up in debate on this bill was domestic violence. And advocates for in the area of domestic violence say that a woman should be able to find out if her abusive partner has a gun. Now, doesn't mean if they don't have a permit, that doesn't mean they don't have guns. I grant that. But just assuming that if someone has a permit, that's a pretty good sign that they do have a gun. There was some discussion in the subcommittee in the Senate about making some exceptions to this confidentiality so that a domestic abuse victim or one of her advocates could find out, could call and ask a specific name, does this person have a gun permit? Is there any, Representative Wolf, would you support that? And Representative Winchell, is there any room for that in your view?
Well, first, I just want to make it clear that while I've heard that public safety argument that people will use gun permit info as a treasure map to go and steal guns. I personally, that is not an argument that I am making, okay? I just want to make it clear that my position on firearm confidentiality is based on the fact that it is a situation where people are exercising a constitutional right. It's not a privilege, it's a right. The government has a right to put certain restrictions on it, reasonable restrictions, which I think the permitting process is. But I do not believe that in order to exercise your constitutional right to carry a firearm, in addition to the permitting process, you should also be required to forfeit your constitutionally protected right to privacy, your right to be left alone, not to have your business out there in public. So that's my position on it. As far as narrowing down or allowing some kind of public access to these records. Yeah, that's absolutely something that's I'm sure will be discussed. I will say that I find it problematic that this idea, we need to know if an abuser has a gun so we can somehow do something differently. Seems to me that if you are the victim of domestic abuse assault and you are worried for your safety, for your life, you had better assume that that person has a gun and is going to use it on you if given the chance. Because people who are going to kill someone, probably whether or not they have a permit, that's not anything that they're really thinking about. So, I mean, I hope that's what advocates are telling their clients, that, you know what, you need to take care of yourself, you need to assume the worst, prepare for the worst, and go from there.
So, Joyce, to answer your question that you posed to me, and first and foremost, I agree 100% with Representative Wolf in the constitutional arguments on this, and that's what I've been saying all along, that this is a constitutional right, and that is why this information needs to be kept private. To answer the question about if we're in the situation where domestic abuse has happened out there, domestic violence, I'm always open-minded to improvements in any legislation that we look at. If there is a legitimate situation out there that we need to be trying to address when in regards to permit privacy, yes, I'll keep an open mind to it. This whole bill has been a collaboration between law enforcement, legislators, private citizens, and the firearms organizations out there, as well as collaboration with the Senate. So if there's something we need to do to improve the bill, we'll look at that. But at the same time, we have to make sure we're protecting Iowans and their constitutional rights.
Let's get in one more guest before we come up to a break. Cheryl Thomas is with us, Reverend Cheryl Thomas, Executive Director for Iowans for Gun Safety. If you've just joined us, we're talking about gun legislation making its way through the Iowa House and Senate, a few pieces of that legislation, making confidential, personally identifiable information on gun permits, also legalizing gun suppressors and permitting children to possess handguns under adult supervision. And let's talk with Cheryl Thomas. Iowans for Gun Safety is her organization, a nonprofit started in 2010. Reverend Cheryl Thomas, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben and Joyce. It's good to be with you today.
Let's start off by getting your reaction to the various to the proposals and the facets that we've been talking about.
Yes, I would like to react to several things that have been said. First, I want to just lay the parameters. Iowa is very fortunate to be one of only two states with high levels of gun ownership and relatively low levels of gun deaths, though we have seen an increase in suicides in the last few years. The other state is Minnesota. As Iowans for Gun Safety, we believe that this is because of two factors. We currently have good gun laws, and we have a state of good neighbors. Good neighbor gun laws protect the common good and create good neighborhoods. We ask four questions about policies and legislation. Are they about common sense, middle of the road solutions? Our first question is, does this legislation protect children? The answer is no. Does this legislation save lives and promote public health and safety? The answer is no. It puts at-risk individuals and suicide, potential suicide people at greater risk. Does this legislation save lives? Three, does this legislation abide by the actual Second Amendment and fairly allow for the rights of all people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? No, this legislation confuses liberty with convenience and goes well beyond the actual Second Amendment. And four, does this legislation prevent violence and help create good neighborhoods?
Okay.
And the answer is no.
We have to go to break in just a moment. I want to have you explain what you mean by actual Second Amendment. You disagree with the Second Amendment as, for instance, Representative Winchell outlined.
Yes, I do. I believe that the Second Amendment right, that the way he is using the Second Amendment right is to talk about it as a metaphor for liberty. He is confusing liberty with the underlying goal of convenience for gun owners and gun sellers. This legislation is about convenience and not about the Second Amendment.
Okay, we'll have to come back to that. We'll certainly get responses from Representative Winchell. Representative Mary Wolf is with us as well, and we'll be joined by others. Hopefully, you will join our conversation. We're looking for all sides in this debate. The proposals, the gun legislation proposals, now in the Iowa legislature, in the House and Senate. Joyce Russell is with us at the State House Law Library, as are all our lawmakers. We want to find out from you, what are your views on the proposals that you've been hearing about this hour? What questions do you have? 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Gun rights legislation on the docket today. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Good to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about legislation, proposals to change gun laws in the state. We want to hear from you from all sides in this debate. Do you think, for instance, personal information on gun permits should be kept confidential or left as part of open records? Should gun suppressors be legalized? Should the law be changed to permit children to possess handguns under adult supervision? A couple of the major elements of this legislation. Joining me, Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent at the State House Law Library, Representative Matt Winschittel, Republican, and a Democrat, Mary Wolf, Representative Wolf, with us as well. Also, the Reverend Cheryl Thomas, Executive Director for Iowans for Gun Safety. We want to have you join us. We have a lot of callers. Of course, a lot of always gun safety and gun legislation, a controversial topic. We'll get to as many callers, as many facets as we can as the hour winds up here. We've got a half of the show left to go. Cheryl Thomas, I wanted to ask you quickly, because we got just a few minutes of you before we went, specifically on the change here to permit children to possess handguns under adult supervision. How does that affect safety of children? That was one of the points that you made specifically.
Yes. Well, thank you for asking. This bill would dismantle the very most important child access prevention law we have in Iowa. And that is that children have to be at least 14 years of age before they can handle and possess a handgun, even with adult supervision. And why this is important is because the leading cause of deaths for 12 to 14-year-olds falls in this category. And 12 to 14-year-olds are impulsive. They are not really able to handle this responsibility of having and possessing a handgun. Unfortunately, parents of 12 to 14-year-olds have gotten to the point that they think they can trust this 12 to 14-year-old with cleaning their gun, for instance, as happened in Vinton with the death of the girl there. And parents believe that their children are responsible. A study in 2006 called Seeing is Believing found out that there is a tremendous difference between what parents think, because children can verbally say they will not touch the gun or they won't fire the gun. But what children do when parents aren't around is something entirely differently.
Mm-hmm. But this is under supervision, isn't Representative Winschittel? This only affects children under adult supervision. Is that right?
That is correct. And what we're talking about is proper parenting and parental responsibility. It should not be up to the government to dictate to a parent how to raise their child. It should be up to the parent to make that decision about what is best for their child's education. We teach our children that smoking is dangerous and can cause cancer. We teach them not to run in the middle of the street because they could get hit by a vehicle. We tell them not to touch a hot stove. Look, I've got two little girls. They're 8 and almost 10. They've literally grown up in my family firearm shop. We've taught them proper firearm safety from a very young age. This is a parent's decision, not government's. Get it back in the hands of the parents.
Representative Winschittel, I'd like to ask, you described the situation where they're out on a gun range, and now someone younger than 14 couldn't have a handgun in their hand out on the gun range, and this under this bill they could. But I'm curious about how this affects things in the home. What kind of laws are on the books to require guns to be secured? And how would this affect that?
They're already covered in Chapter 724.22, persons under 21, sale, loan, gift, making available, possession. This entire chapter covers having firearms or ammunition accessible to minors. And this is the exact section where this prohibition on a parent being able to teach a child under the age of 14 how to shoot a pistol or revolver, that's already covered in current law. So if there is an instance where a parent is irresponsible, they can be charged for that and appropriate steps can be taken.
I'm not sure I followed all of that, but am I right then that regardless of whether this bill passes, under Iowa law, you have to keep guns secured in your home?
Joyce,
Cheryl seems to want to say something here.
Joyce, we do not have a child safety lock, state law regarding that. What we do have is we have some penalties for if it happens, but we don't have a proactive. If you went into a home and you saw, as people who write on our Facebook page say, they leave their gun on the dining room table with all their children and teach them from the time they're toddlers not to touch the gun. If you went into the home in Iowa, you could, and like a social worker went in, there is not a law that prohibits that. But there is a law like that in Minnesota, and it's something we should be doing instead of dismantling again the good gun law that we have.
Cheryl, that's inaccurate. Chapter 724.22, let me read it to you here real quick. It shall be unlawful for any person to store or leave loaded a firearm which is not secured by a trigger lock mechanism, placed in a securely locked box or container, or placed in some other location which a reasonable person would believe to be secure from a minor under the age of 14 years. If such person knows or has reason to believe that a minor under the age of 14 years is likely to gain access to the firearm without the lawful possession of the minor's parent, guardian, or person having charge of the minor lawfully gains access to the firearm without the consent or the person having charge of minor, and the minor exhibits a firearm in a public place in an unlawful manner. All of that right there is covered, and it is punishable.
It's only punishable if the child then takes the gun and exhibits it in a public manner.
Representative Winchittle and Reverend Thomas, I think we're getting into the minutiae here. That's sort of outside the bounds of our hour here. Let's go to some callers, because we have a lot of interest. Let's go to Tom in Sioux City. Tom, you've been listening to this discussion.
I would just like to say that I would think we should go the other way, and we should make sure that every person that gets a carry permit should be published on the front page of the Des Moines Register and every local newspaper. I've got a right as a citizen to know who else has got a gun. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were at a restaurant, and a couple that we were somewhat acquainted with came in, and my wife kind of kicked me under the table and said, you know, she carries a gun in her purse. And I said, you're kidding. She said, nope. And I said, are you sure? She said, yeah. Well, we got up and left.
Tom, are you a gun owner, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I've got several shotguns and several rifles. We got a 30-06 deer hunting up in the Dakotas, pheasant hunting. We don't go after duck. I mean, we do a lot of target practice. But, you know, oh, yeah. If I'm going to a movie, and I've got a right to know that the person next to me, if I know them or know of them or can identify them, that they've got a gun, that if somebody throws popcorn in the back of their head, they're not going to turn around and try and shoot the person through the popcorn at them and probably miss them and hit me.
Okay, Tom, you made your point. Let's get a reaction response, please, briefly, from Representative Winchittle.
Tom? Where is that right articulated in the Constitution of the United States of America or the Constitution of the State of Iowa? That's all I'd have to ask.
Okay. And Representative Winchittle, you had something to say as that caller was speaking? Representative Wolf.
We are not the same person.
Of course not.
I'm just wondering if Tom is actually if he's actually checked with his sheriff to find out who of his neighbors, friends, city residents do have carry permits. I've heard a lot from people who are like, why shouldn't I be able to find out that information? But so far, I haven't had a single person say, well, yeah, now that you mention it, I have called down and checked. So the fact that that information is currently public, the people are not requesting that information, which is neither here nor there as to whether or not they should be able to. I would agree with Representative Winchittle that, there is no constitutional right to know whether or not someone is carrying a firearm. There just isn't. Whether or not as a policy position we should allow that information to be public is a different issue. But as far as some constitutionally protected right, it's not there.
Representative Wolf, also Representative Winchittle, and Joyce Russell, Cheryl Thomas, let's introduce another guest here. I want to remind our listeners there's so much traffic for us on our telephones. We want to try to get to as many as possible this hour, but of course you can also leave your views where the conversation always continues on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at IPR Talk. Allison Anderman is with us as well, joining us by phone, staff attorney with the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Allison Anderman, Fetterman, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit about how Iowa sits in context with other states. You give grades to states based on prevention of gun violence. How does Iowa score?
Sure. I would love to talk about that. But I did want to make one point that I keep hearing your guests refer to the Second Amendment. And I just want to clarify that it was only in 2008 that the U.S. Supreme Court ever interpreted the Second Amendment to provide a law-abiding citizen with a right to possess a handgun in the home for self-defense. And the Supreme Court has never extended that right beyond self-defense in the home. Some lower courts have, but many other lower courts have not. And so it is not accurate to say that the Second Amendment protects the right to a suppressor or the right for an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old to possess a gun. That's just not what has been dictated by the Supreme Court. And whether or not Representative Windschuttle and Representative Wolf would like it to mean that, that is actually just not the law as it stands right now. To go to your question, Iowa actually has some really great, strong gun laws on its books. And accordingly, our organization gave it a C-minus grade in 2015, which, although that might sound low, and you certainly wouldn't want your kid coming home with a C-minus on his algebra exam, and truthfully, we don't want Iowa coming in with a C-minus grade. There are, unfortunately, plenty of states that got lower grades, and some of them neighbor Iowa. But Iowa was ranked 15 out of the 50 states for its gun laws, and accordingly, it only has a gun death rate in 2012 of 43 out of 50, meaning that because it has relatively strong gun laws, it has actually a relatively low gun death rate in the state.
You spoke of the Midwest, Wisconsin with a C-minus as well, Missouri with a grade of F from you, the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, Minnesota a C, Nebraska a D, Illinois a B+, South Dakota and F, just to get all of our surrounding states. Have you looked at, Allison Anderman, have you looked at the proposals here, and can you judge whether they would be, in your view, preventing gun violence?
There have been no studies that I'm aware of, and I this is what I do for a living, so if they had come out, I would know, that indicate that any of the things proposed in this bill would reduce gun violence. In fact, I think that they would actually increase gun violence. In particular, letting a minor under the age of 14 possess a weapon is, you know, it really defies common sense. I'm a parent. I have two small children, and My children, as smart and wonderful as they are, they do stupid things all the time, and they don't listen to me sometimes. And I think most kids are the same way. And even adults who know better do silly things when they're playing with guns, and it often has tragic consequences. For example, a pregnant woman, Catherine Hoover, in Florida, she and her unborn baby were shot and killed when her husband's friend was showing them gun tricks in his kitchen. We all heard the story about the 2-year-old who pulled a gun out of his mother's purse and shot and killed her at a Walmart. And so doctors always talk about how children's brains are not developed enough to control impulsive behavior, and they're just not mature enough to possess lethal weaponry. And while I think that definitely there's a limit to what the government should do to regulate parenting, I think that the idea that like a 4-year-old could be able to possess a gun is just foolish. And I definitely think that that has the likelihood to increase firearm injuries and deaths for children in Iowa.
Matt Windschuttle, Representative Windschuttle, despite the best parenting, you talked about the right to parent the way you want to. You can have the best kids, the best parents, but we know kids as can be unpredictable from moment to moment. Do you see that point?
Adults can be unpredictable from moment to moment. And Allison, I just got to say, I find it sad that you're deriving your rights based upon court's decisions. Our rights are recognized in the Constitution of the United States that our founders laid out for us, and it's not up to some court to tell us what our right is. Simply because the Supreme Court recognize the right to have a firearm in the home for self-defense in Heller v. D.C. Does not mean that I do not have a right to carry a weapon outside of the home for the same purpose. So are children different? Yes. Will different children at different stages of life make different decisions? Absolutely. It's the parents' responsibility, not government's, to raise that child.
Joyce, can we talk a little bit about where this bill is headed from now as the hour winds up? I understand that, well, we reached out to Senate Democrats. Let me play this clip before we end the hour, Joyce. Senate Democrats declined our invitations to be part of this conversation. Senate Majority Leader Mike Ronstadt said there was not a consensus about this bill among Democrats in the Senate, so it's not clear if this bill will go to a vote before the full Senate. The committee voted 10-3 to pass the bill last week. Let's listen to one of the senators who voted no on this, Herman Quirnbach from Ames, his comments on this gun legislation.
In the context of issues that I've been dealing with and that the Senate has been dealing with, this seems to be a very strange mixture. We can't seem to get agreement to require kids to stay in school until they graduate. We can't seem to get agreement on anything close to adequate funding for K-12 education. We're down in the bottom third in states as far as our funding is concerned. And as our ranking has slipped and slipped and slipped over 20 years, our ranking in test scores has gone down and down and down. We've been working for 2 years now to try to get a bill through to help schools expand their preschool capacity so that we can, excuse me, Senator, I have the floor and I will finish my remarks. I will tie it into this bill real quick. We have not been able to get agreement to expand the preschool and to help eliminate waiting lists. But now we come along with a bill and we say to those four-year-olds who are trying in vain to get into preschool, well, we can't provide preschool for you, but you can go out and shoot a gun. Boy, isn't that a nuts message.
Okay, Senator Herman Quirnbach from Ames. Representative Matt Winchell, I know you have to leave in about a minute. I wanted to give you a final word, perhaps reacting to your Senate colleague there.
Well, I appreciate that opportunity to make the comment. It's as simple as this, folks. We have constitutional rights, and they have been slowly, methodically undermined and taken away from us over generations. We have to take these steps in order to get those rights back, and if Senator Quirnbach feels that it's a nuts message that a parent should be able to teach their child or their child proper firearm safety, I find that discouraging. However, still working with my colleagues, the majority in the Senate and the minority over there as well, to try and craft a good proposal that's good for 3 million Iowans and advances our Second Amendment rights.
Thank Representative you. Matt Winchell, thank you very much. We understand you have to go. Joyce Russell, finish this up for us. Well, looking forward, what do we have to expect in the coming days and weeks on this issue?
Well, it's come out of the committee in both the House and Senate, and so it's eligible for debate on the floor in both chambers. I expect that will happen without too much trouble in the House. Senator Gronstall, as you said, has said he does not have consensus in his committee, in his caucus, to bring it up. What I will be watching for is whether some of these more controversial pieces get taken out of the bill. And I will say that in the Senate Judiciary Committee, they passed this bill out, but then they turned around and passed another bill that only deals with the suppressors. So it's like they're covering their bases. If the bill, the more comprehensive bill, doesn't fly, then they'll put a gun suppressor bill out there, which would have a better chance.
Representative Wolf, as we have you for a minute or so before our show ends, you mentioned concerns from your party. What concerns are the chief concerns in the Democratic ranks in the House?
Well, and we haven't caucused on the bill as a whole, but certainly what I've heard is concerns about removing any age limit on minors possessing a firearm, even under the direct supervision of a parent or responsible adult. That's a primary concern I've heard. I think they understand the issues with the confidentiality and why I at least feel that that's appropriate. I would just like to quickly say that I am not taking the position that people have a constitutional right to possess a firearm suppressor, nor am I taking the position that the Second Amendment grants children the right to possess guns, okay? Just Ms. Allison indicated that. That is not my position.
Okay. Joyce, unless you had something else, perhaps to Cheryl Thomas. Cheryl, will you be working? How will you be working to not have this legislation enacted, as I hear from you?
There is a very broad coalition building quickly against this bill. It includes medical community. It includes, of course, the Newspaper Association, victims' rights groups, child advocates, violence prevention communities. This bill happened behind closed doors. It's as if Senator Sodders and Representative Winchettle sat down with the NRA and played a giant game of Jenga in reverse. We have good gun laws, some were missing. So the law enforcement got to put in a couple of things that they liked. Then the NRA took out 20 things that they thought were convenient. And law enforcement agreed with some of those because this permit to carry process has been a unfunded mandate on them that has been a burden. Okay. But we care more about our children than we care about convenience. And we want good neighbor gun laws.
Okay, thank
Representative
you.
Representative Wolf, okay, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, we don't have any time left. So thank you, Joyce. Joyce Russell, okay. Iowa Public Radio correspondent at the State House at the Law Library there. Reverend Cheryl Thomas, Representative Mary Wolf, and Alyssa Anderman of the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. The conversation continues at Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. So sorry we couldn't get more callers into it. We had a packed program today, but you can sure leave your opinion, your question at Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and help from Julia Davis. John Pemble helped us out as well. Drop us a line, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.